There we go.
It's working.
Talk show.
There you go.
Recorded live.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to the next and new and fantastic episodes of the Virtual Married for Married Men. Here I am again, the head of household for this evening. My name is Patrice, or a.k.a. P-Town. I'm your host for the evening. We're going to have a fantastic evening of discussion. Hopefully we can get through this very great topic that we have for tonight. Our topic for this evening, marriage deal breakers. When enough is enough. Before we start that, let me give you the rules, just a couple rules that we want to make sure we respect and abide by. And that is, one, respect other people's comments, respect other people's opinions, and also no cursing. Let's keep it manly. Let's keep it just us grown folks just talking, having a good time. Again, our topic tonight is marriage deal breakers. When enough is enough. Every relationship has an original agreement, whether emotional, sexual, or financial. Some are a combination of all three. You know when you've come to a dead end in your relationship when the original agreement isn't being fulfilled. If the original agreement isn't being met, you have a deal breaker. Tonight, there are a couple of things we want to go over, and if you have any, we'll add those into the discussion. You know, wanting or not wanting children, secret bank accounts, born sex, not enough sex, unbearable in-laws, neat freaks, a slob, friendships with the opposite sex, infidelity, alcohol, drugs, mental health, physical abuse. These are some of the things, unemployment, religious differences, physical appearances. These are some of the things that we want to talk about this evening. And we want to find out which of these marriage deal breakers are at the top of your list. Have you ever been challenged in any of these areas in your relationship? If so, how did you deal with those? When we define your breaking point, is it a guide to getting things back on track and you have to get back to that original agreement that you made when you first got married? Let's start the discussion. Having children. Some marriage forms, we have them all over the place. A person shares an issue in the marriage that is obviously a deal breaker. When asked if the issue is discussed prior to getting married, the answer is often no. Don't make the mistake, don't get married without knowing the future spouse in any of these issues. That can kill the marriage. That's what somebody should have told us before we got married. But usually we don't, and we compromise, and it turns into either disagreements or some of these issues turn into deal breakers. And one of those is, do you want children? It can be a huge red flag in a relationship if you or your spouse does not agree to have children. Now, you can marry a person and she says, I don't want to have children. Or you can have two children now, and one of you in the relationship says, you know what? I want that third child. And the other one's like, I don't know if we can afford a third child now, and I don't know if I really want to go through that process again. Is that a deal breaker? Anybody want to take that one?
I don't think it's a deal breaker, but I think it can very well be a deal breaker, but I think that's one of those where you got got to have the conversation. And, you know, the best thing is to have it before you get married. That way there's no surprises. You know, after the wedding day is over, it's like, you know, well, I didn't want to have any kids. So, you know, that no surprises, but that conversation should be had. And in detail, well in advance, before you walk down the aisle. So it won't be a deal breaker, because it could be.
But what if the other one agrees but says, yeah, I want to have a baby with you. All right, but, you know, your wife never gets off the pill. So you thinking you're trying. Concerns starts to come in. Maybe we're, you know, too old. Maybe the sperm count low. Maybe, you know, the ovaries just ain't working. When all the time, it's, you know, your wife has been lying to you because she really never wanted a child. She just couldn't tell you she never wanted a child. So she would sneak birth control pills and have sex with you as many times as you want, thinking that this will work. Would that become a deal breaker?
I think that the lying part is the deal breaker, you know, and taking birth control, and, you know, the guy is convinced that at some point, you know, as long as his everything is working as it should, you know, we're going to have a baby. So, I mean, the whole point about, you know, her sneaking off, you know, or still on birth control when they're supposed to be trying to have a baby, I think that's the deal breaker in that situation.
Anybody else? Well, we talked about this in our prior calls, and one of our calls was about the vasectomy or hysterectomy. And one of the wife comes to you and says, I don't want to have any children. I want you to get a vasectomy. Does that now become a deal breaker? Oh, you want me to do what? Because you have a lot of men, you know, say, oh, no. I'm not doing that. No way I'm doing. Could that turn up into a deal breaker?
If she forces, if she, you know, she requests.
She just asks you a question, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, sometimes our egos gets the best of us.
Right. That's a good one.
Because, you know, I think that stays on a man's conscience. Why would she ask me to get a vasectomy? Usually it's the other way around. I mean, as in when we had our last call and when we talked about it, it's usually the man bringing it up about, hey, you know, it's cheaper, it's safer if I get the vasectomy, and then we don't have to. That's their agreement. But your wife is saying, I won't have kids no more. You need to get a vasectomy. Is that the same type of situation, or are we talking something different?
Yeah, that could be a shot to the ego, because it could be, you know, a situation where she may not want to have kids with you.
Right.
You know, which is a whole deeper issue.
And
you know, she may have wanted to have kids, but now it's like, you know, never mind. I think that's a whole nother issue. It's like, you want to make sure that, you know, she don't carry any of your children.
Let's get into the deep stuff. What about, you know, you're at the prime of your career now. And you or your spouse says, you know, I want you to cut down on your work because I think it's time for us to have a baby. But you're in the prime of your career now, you know. You're going up that corporate ladder. Work is more important. You're bringing home all this great money. And, I mean, we see it all the time. You have one another person saying, I don't want to have a baby because I'll mess up my figure. I'll mess up my career.
And then you have to take a step back and analyze what's more important. Is the career important, or, you know, having and raising a family more important? I think you have to look at, that's a quality of life issue.
Right. That is a quality of life issue. Anybody else want to grab on to that? I don't know how that would work. I mean, when you're talking work right now, and my marriage, I'm not looking for another kid. But that question has never come up because I don't think we ever talked about it. I think it's just a mutual agreement that we don't want additional kids right now. But also in that, we haven't talked about the precautions either. We haven't taken any precautions to make sure, to prevent that, you know, we don't have another kid. So if it happens, it happens, but I don't know if we can really say what the answer would be, if that's like a marriage deal breaker.
So what would happen if she got pregnant now? I mean,
guess I'd just be working. Be like, remember old Living Color? You'd be Jamaican. I'm about to be full time. I do.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, it's not a red flag because think kids are precious.
Yeah.
However, is it a red flag for anybody else on the phone? Well, that's good. Since there is not a red flag on the phone, I think I can put a check mark by children, unless anybody else wants to add in anything about children. And let's talk about money now. The mechanics on how the two of you, your husband and spouse, will handle your finances really isn't the issue. Many couples in successful marriages and have separate checking accounts. Many have successful marriages and have one bank account, right? The issue is whether or not the two of you can calmly and practically talk about money. You know, and let me see, if how your money is spent, how it's saved or not saved, isn't an issue before you get married, will it even become a bigger issue after your wedding? I mean, last couple weeks, for instance, my niece and they just got married. Niece and my little new nephew now, they just got married. But, you know, they tried to do it all themselves, so they end up getting loans and doing a lot of different things to have this extravagant wedding. But you have a little child involved in this too, so was it really worth it? Or does the effect really happen after the marriage when it's talking about weddings? You know, if everybody's seen that show Bridezilla, you know, you can get kind of out of hand with money.
And that's definitely a sensitive topic. And, you know, you have to definitely get some sort of, I mean, you may not talk to it, you know, talk about it in the detail that you would wish, but you got to have some handle on it before you walk down the aisle.
Mm-hmm. I believe so. Or is it separate finances? You know, is it, okay, we can talk about these bills, but we have a hard time talking about how we're going to save money or how we're going to invest our money. You know, could it be a deal breaker if you have one joint account, but you find out that your spouse has a hidden account?
Yeah, again, that goes back to what I said earlier about lying. You know, you got a situation where she's hiding stuff, you know, like you talked about with the birth control, you know, even with the secret bank accounts. That's not something. I mean, it's just, again, it goes back to just literally what is being told and what is being communicated. And if it's something that she's hiding, I mean, that, you know, lying, you know, can be the deal breaker.
Yeah, I have written that down as a major part of a main issue in deal breakers is just being a liar. I don't think anybody likes to be a liar. But
yeah.
I know there was times in our conversations that sometimes you have to lie because people can't handle the truth, because the truth will become a deal breaker. Is lying helping out the marriage in a certain way?
I mean, ultimately, it's going to catch up with you.
Right.
And that's you know, that's going to be, you know, you start lying, and then you got to lie to cover up another lie and another lie. You know, it just becomes problematic.
Yeah. I agree, but just especially when it comes to, like, the first topic, which was children, and now we're here talking about money, and here, you know, maybe the spouse or yourself knows that, you know, that person has a hard time saving, so, you know, you build a separate account so that you'll at least have some money just in case y'all get in trouble.
Mhm.
And if that person knew, then that money would be gone too.
Right.
Wrong, but could be right. But if that person finds out, they might feel like, you know, you think that they're untrustworthy. So here we have a deal breaker. Why should I be in this marriage? So, you know, you got the catch-22 there in that situation. Anybody else want to bring anything else about money? Well, just make sure that, you know, it is very important that we talk about money. I know that I have a hard time talking about money. And when I get into the conversation with my wife about money sometimes, it doesn't always turn out well, so I get quiet. And it's probably because it's not the understanding of who's responsible for what, or if it's, well, we had to make some ad hoc changes so that we can, you know, make sure the lights and everything is on. And then those ad hoc changes may have been forgetting to be passed on to the spouse. And now you have a conflict. So do I need to make sure that I need to do a better job? I believe so. But it's one of those things. I don't know if Tone's on the phone. Tone, you on the phone?
I'm right here.
I'm on your topic now. Let's talk about sex. I'm on your topic right now. Let's talk about it. There's no way of predicting the future when it comes to an individual's sexual libido. However, if the two of you are already having sexual issues before the marriage or in the marriage, how do you settle those issues? And this is one of the things, let me give you some examples. Somebody pick this up. Differences in sexual frequency, desire, performances, preferences, fantasies, masturbation, expectations. You know, there was a on a there was an article from one of the papers that I think it was the Washington Post I was reading today that literally said that most men, 85% of most married men believe they give their wife an orgasm, where 64% of the women say they climax. So there's a difference right there. So if you're, you know, with your wife and she's saying, you know, I'm just not dealing with you anymore because you can't make it happen. What happens here? So let's talk about sexual frequency first. Anybody want to pick that one up? The differences in sexual frequency.
What do you mean, before or after? Before or after the wedding or before or after
is,
the kids?
This is during marriage. We all married folk here, so this is during marriage. Sexual frequency. We all know that before marriage, it's every day. It's after work, after you go out on Friday, Saturday night, you know, before church on Sunday morning, you get it in. But after a while, when you get married, does that sexual frequency change? Or is it something that doesn't really matter? Tony, you want to grab that one?
I think it matters.
Think it matters?
I mean, I think it definitely matters, but it's got to be quality too, though. But when you're talking about deal breakers, how do you tie the two together?
How you tie sexual frequency with deal breakers?
Yeah.
You might have one that wants it, you know, three times a day. And they expect their wife to give it to them three times a day.
Why got to be expect the wife to give it to them? Why can't it be the man?
But, you know, you asked for an example. So.
I'm just saying. If you don't come, only thing that comes to your head is that the men want it three times a day.
Well, you know, hey, you know, this call is not just for us.
Understood.
So I'm just trying to figure out. If there is a man that wants it three times a day and he's not getting it, does he feel like there's a deal breaker? It's time for him to go outside the marriage because he's not getting it from home.
Yeah, I think that's problematic because in a relationship, it's more than it's a lot more than sex, you know. So I don't know if.
But there's men that's out there that's like this.
Right. Exactly. But
and they don't care about quality. They care about just three times a day. That's what they expect. That's their expectation.
Yeah, but to me, I don't even know if that's normal. Wanting it three times a day. I mean, literally. And because to me, that says something else is going on with that guy, where he needs sex three times a day. Because that's just not normal. Yeah, we like sex, but I mean, three times a day every day. No, it's something else. It's something deeper going on with that whole situation. That's what I think. Somebody might disagree, but that's what I think.
Yeah, that can be a little selfish too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, because regardless of what the mate. What your spouse is going through or tired or whatever the case. I mean, you know, to just demand that on anyone. I know that'd be a lot for, you know, someone to demand on me. Sometimes you just don't want to do it.
Right.
You know, doesn't mean, you know, less love or anything like that. Just, you know, like my wife will come to me sometimes for a hug. And sometimes I don't want a hug. You know what I mean? You just sit there watching whatever you're doing, what you want to do. You're like, yeah, you know, I like to hug you, but, you know, right now.
You know,
that's funny.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. But we still we gotta go through with it, you know. We gotta do our part. But I don't think it's a deal breaker. You know, I think the result of not knowing how to handle it, and you know how we handle those things, the result can be a deal breaker.
Hmm.
Because someone might say, okay, well, if you're not going to handle my needs, then I'm going to get somebody to handle my needs. I think once they solve the issue that way, then it definitely can become a deal breaker.
Mm-hmm.
But all that is just communication, you know, just expressing to your spouse that, you know, you like, you know, volume, so to speak.
Hmm. Couldn't that be painful, too?
Yeah.
You know, that's just 3, 4, 5 times a day. I guess the older you get, you know, I'm not looking for frequency. I'm looking for that serious connection, that intimacy, not just sex, but intimacy.
I think when you're talking about marriage, I think a realistic number would be 3 times a week, not including weekends,
mm-hmm.
would be plenty for most married people with everything that they have going on.
I'd agree.
You know, 3 times a week, not including weekends, you know. And
you
to
said
some,
not including weekends?
Not including weekends.
Not including weekends.
Yeah, that's 2 days
off.
That's 2 days off during the week. That might be excessive to some people, though.
That'll be hard to pull off.
In a marriage, yes.
Yeah.
In a marriage, that might be excessive. I mean, I'm just thinking it's more realistic than saying 5 times a day.
Right.
That's somewhere else. That's in another stratosphere.
Yeah, that's it. That's all right. I'm lasting 30 seconds, and then I want to go again.
Yeah, you know. Yeah.
If everybody's getting
and that's one time.
Orgasm on, then I don't know about that one. Somebody fall asleep somewhere up in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we'll see what happens, man. I mean, this is good. This is a good conversation. Thank you, guys. Let's add on to this. Sexual desires. You know? Your wife comes into bed one night and says, hey, let's bring another guy into the bedroom. I have this fantasy. You remember we were talking about fantasies? And here's my fantasy. How does that question go? How does that, does the light pop on right there and you sit right up and like, what?
That's
a deal
crazy.
Breaker.
Yeah, exactly. That's
a deal
breaker.
That's a deal breaker.
Yep.
That's a no-brainer deal breaker.
Mm-hmm.
But this is one of her sexual fantasies.
No.
Yeah,
aren't
right.
we in for fulfilling them? Isn't that what you told her at the beginning? I fulfill all your sexual
That's
fantasies?
That's it. That's I. Not me and him. I.
Yeah, let me throw this out there, right. Monkey wrench. Is it a deal breaker if you find out some of the past sexual experiences that your wife has had? Namely, girl-on-girl type thing, or a menage a trois with 2 dudes. Or, you know, like y'all was saying earlier, you know, the marathon joint, where, you know, it's with the previous dude or whatever, she did go 3 times a day.
Mm.
So let me throw that out there. What about the past sexual experiences? Which one of those would be a deal breaker where you'd be like, whoa. You know, I don't know about now. You're in the marriage now. You already walked down the aisle, but you find out that one of those things, you know, happened. Then what? Is that a deal breaker?
It can be questionable if this guy shows up. this dog, you know, you still talking to this guy on Facebook.
So only if he shows up. So it's not a deal breaker if you find out. If the dude never showed up. But.
It was before you, man. It's, you know.
So you wouldn't care?
I don't know. I have to be honest with you because it depends on how far for me it was.
So if it was right before you.
Because,
if
you know,
it was the dude before you, and, you know, like you said, Mr. Host, you said that, you know, her fantasy is having two dudes. And she was like, you know what? Yeah, that was my thing. You know, I actually tried it a few times with my old dude, the dude right before you.
Hmm.
Then what? So it was right before you.
Well, then don't bring it up. You already did it. It ain't a fantasy no more.
Oh, man.
But you don't. I mean, it's tough to really say, man. I believe because it was before you. I mean, are you going to add in deal breakers with something that you had no dealings with that was, you know, that you had no part of or no even thought of? She just giving you this information?
I just think that goes back to disclosure. You know, she could have told you, right?
Yeah, she could have told you at the beginning.
Yeah. But is that something to tell? Is to just jump on out there and say, hey, you know, by the way, you know, I know this is our second date, but before you, you know?
I mean,
that's a tough one, man.
Thank you, Tony.
Tony's right here
being real. Yeah. Thank you.
I'm going to keep it real. That's a tough one.
Yeah.
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
You find out the lady that you marry's probably been in, you know, with 3-4 guys at one time or something like that. But it happens. May have been a previous swinger with her last boyfriend.
Whoa.
The couples got together and did their own thing. You know, may have been, you know, into some lesbian stuff prior to getting into this relationship with you, and you may be her way of, you know, a fresh new start.
Mm.
You know?
Or changing her ways.
Yeah. I think anything that is not disclosed up front is a potential deal breaker.
Mm. Good words.
That is true.
Because it could come back to bite you.
Yeah.
And since you said that, and we are talking on this on your topic, Tom, when should that be disclosed? Before you even go to bed with your spouse the first time, you know, your future spouse the first time, or after you've gotten closer, and you say, all right, we need to sit down and put everything on the table. How do you start that conversation?
But it's tricky.
So I guarantee you a lot of men don't know how to start that conversation.
Well, I mean, a lot of people don't. I mean, it's tricky because everything is not for everybody. I don't want to know a lot of information. A lot of stuff I'd rather just not know. If it's not going to come back and bite me, then maybe I don't need to know.
And it's probably not stuff you don't want to tell either.
Exactly. I mean, I'm pretty sure we got some stuff that we don't want to tell either. That could be a potential deal breaker.
But we will
take it with us to the grave.
Yeah, but wait a minute. You just said that anything not disclosed could be a deal breaker.
It could be a potential deal breaker, yes. And we probably have some potential deal breakers that we're not saying nothing about.
So you're saying that, you know, since we got deal breakers that we haven't disclosed, that scenario, you don't want to know because you know that it might be a deal breaker.
It might, yeah, exactly. And same thing on the other side. There's some things that, you know, your wife or somebody's wife may have done in college that you just don't need to know about.
And I agree, but I think what happens when you find out, you know, say one of her, that college girlfriend comes by, stops by, breathes into town. It's like, yo, girl, you remember we had, you know, we did this and we did that, and it just slips out. And you standing there at the barbecue grill, and it's like, what?
Yeah.
What did y'all do?
Listen,
you know,
man, yeah. I could sit here all day on the phone and tell you how many stories Sharon found out.
Oh, yeah, but look, it could be
the same school. So, you know, I didn't never think we would make it past because she just found out everything. You know,
it could be a positive or it could be a negative. You could find out some stuff about your wife. You like, whoa, it's on when we get home. You know what I mean? Like, oh,
maybe.
I didn't know you were old like that.
Maybe.
Maybe, you know.
But she could tell you, she's like, hey, you know, no, that was college days. So just get that out of your head. Forget about
yeah.
it.
But
well, that goes into it. That's a good one, Tone, because that goes into my next one, which is sexual preferences. Maybe your wife never disclosed things that she prefers, you know, that is her preference, that she doesn't like it on the bed. Rather y'all have it on the stairs.
Yeah, but you're walking into a brick wall when you say that. Because, I mean, we supposed to bring that out of them. That's our job. That's our duty.
That's your duty.
You got to bring that stuff out of them. You can't let them keep that. They got to bring that out at some point. You know. And like I said a long time ago, sometimes we put put our wives on a pedestal. You know, and be like, well, it's the mother of my kids, it's the woman that I married, it's the one I bring home to mama, so we can only do with so much. But sometimes you have to, I mean, if you can't share that kind of stuff with your wife, who are you going to share it with? The next chick?
But that might not be her preference. She might have changed her preference.
You just said her preference. That you,
yeah.
That you don't know about.
Mm. Yeah. But then what if she has something that you know about, then she changes it. You're like, I thought you liked this.
Yeah, that happens too.
Well, wait a minute. You know, you keep changing up. This stuff's getting on my nerves. And that's where your deal breaker comes in. Because, you know, there's no consistency. Your wife is always, her preference is always changing. Is that a deal breaker?
No, it's not a deal breaker.
Just deal with it and keep it moving.
Yeah.
All right, here's that big one. We talked about it last week before last, a couple months ago, on one of our biggest shows, pornography. You know, a lot of men have trouble getting rid of their stash. Is that, for a woman, for some women, a deal breaker?
Could be.
A weak woman.
A weak woman?
Yeah. Yeah. A woman that just doesn't, I mean, you know, that's frightened by things. Like when problems come around, you know, instead of trying to figure out how they're going to work it out, wants to hit the bricks.
I mean, that's almost like an addiction, pornography. I mean,
yeah.
If she thinks you have an addiction.
So is shopping.
So you run it, you know, I remember in our pornography, I listened to it the other week in our pornography show, and there was somebody on there who said he was so addicted to pornography that after sex, he would leave the room, go downstairs, go look at some porn.
I remember that, yeah.
I remember that, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, what? but, you know, and then he expects the wife not to know what he's doing. Well, you know she knows.
Can I ask a question, guys?
Yes.
Are we defining a deal breaker as something that is ending the marriage?
Yes.
Okay. Another question to the Christian guys out there. What does God say a deal breaker is?
I don't know.
Adultery.
He says the only thing he says is that if the wife committed adultery, that's a deal breaker.
No, it's not. He gave two deal breakers.
In marriage?
In marriage.
What's the second one?
The second one is abandonment.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
those are the only two causes that God gives as deal breakers. And they don't have to be, but those are the only two causes that, God says are deal breakers. And we got a list that keeps going.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're trying
right.
to figure out why. So, you know. And
I got a guy that is leaving his wife because one of the main reasons is that his wife is giving their adult daughter rides. And that's a deal breaker for him. And he told me this morning he's retaining the attorney.
Transportation?
Transportation. Because he said you shouldn't ride her, she should walk. And she said, my daughter's not going to walk. I mean, we can get ridiculous.
But is that more of transportation or is that more of
that's more ridiculous.
Buying them a car, which is more financial, that they can't agree on finances on a car because he doesn't think that they needed a car.
No, he wants to teach the daughter that she's got to go get it on her own, and he feels he's hindering her if she gives her a ride. It's more of an issue of I said it, I'm the man, and this is the way
yeah.
it goes. And you're you know, I and the wife said, well, I don't agree with that, and you know,
my house, my rules. My house, my rules.
One of the major issues, you know, is. You know, they see marriage different. He's, you know. But what I'm saying is we can, you know, and him being a Christian, you know, I brought up, you know, you don't have cause for a divorce. And he said, yeah, but I'm going to do it anyway. So what's a deal breaker? Is a deal breaker what ends the marriage? And if it is, what does God have to say a deal breaker is? I'm just saying.
Yeah.
And like I just said.
You're 100% correct. There's only two.
And you know what happened before you got married? All right. You know, hey, I mean, truth be told, well, not some of y'all not, but truth be told, most of us, the stuff that went down before we said I do wasn't real pleasant. I mean,
yeah.
Guys' perspective. We don't like to think of our women like that, but we guys had to be doing it with somebody.
And that's what I was just saying. You know, I'm pretty sure that there are a lot of deal breakers that we will not disclose that have happened prior to us being married.
Now, if those things happened while we were married, that's a different ballgame.
For sure.
I mean, if I got me and two others, that's a different ballgame. But
for sure.
Me and two others before the marriage has no bearing on the marriage.
No.
And two others before the marriage has no bearing on the marriage. And she may be ashamed to say it.
Well, that goes to this next point of mine. And we talked about a couple of things here before you came on, Andrew. We talked about frequency, desires, preferences, fantasies, pornography. But let's just get down to it. Infidelity, cheating. For some women, they're gonna say, I'm going to work on my marriage. We can work through this. But as a man on this call, let's just be honest. First thing we're going to say is deal breakers, but is it really a deal breaker? Are we scared of, are we truly scared of working it out, or does our mind just focus on, she just cheated on me, so it's a deal breaker?
Well, I truly believe that all adultery is a deal breaker. All adultery ends the marriage. That doesn't mean you have to get a divorce, but the marriage you had is over. That doesn't mean you can't build a new marriage with the same person, but once you step over that line, the marriage that you had is no longer.
I agree with him.
Because
I agree with that.
Over. And that doesn't mean it can't be built again. It doesn't mean it can't be forgiven and worked through. But once you cross that line, That's one of those things that's a dagger in the heart. It doesn't matter if it's a man or a woman.
So what you're saying is that you don't have to get a divorce, but you're going to have to restart. As you knew it, is over.
Your marriage, as you knew it, is done.
Yeah, I agree with that, 100%. Hard to come back from that. You can still be in the house. You can still be going to the mall. You can still be living this life with them. Telling yourself, hey, we're going to get past it. We're going to get through it. Very difficult to do. It's always in the back of your mind. And then other things come up. Certain things that, you know, happen that, you know, make you say, I wonder if this person was doing this with the other person. You know, a lot of things will keep constantly remind you of the infidelity. It's just a hard thing to shake.
Right. And even after, I mean, we talked about it on another calls. We talked about cheating. We talked about bringing a third party. Even after a third party, isn't it still a deal breaker?
A third party? What do you mean?
Going to see your pastor or going to see a psychiatrist or, you know.
What actually breaks the deal isn't so much the physical act of sex. It's the destruction of the trust because of the lies and the cover-up and all of the, you know, the stuff that we do on top of it. And then the person turns around and says, I don't know you anymore. What can I believe in you? And that's where the real destruction starts to happen. You know, almost everybody I know that goes through this has the initial reaction of our marriage is over. And then a lot of times the dust settles and say, okay, we're going to work it out. But they never move beyond it because they never get to a point of true forgiveness. And it usually lingers right under the surface. And, you know, 6 months later, it's pulled out. Yeah, but you did this. And when that's the situation, there's really no coming back for it. As Tony said, yeah, you might still be living in the house, you know, but, you know, the marriage that you knew that you had is over. And you can build it, and there's many examples of people that have come back from it, and some of them have built stronger marriages than what they had. But the marriage you had, and it's always in the back of your mind. Okay, being on both sides of the issue, being the one that did it and being the one that has been done too, it's a difficult pill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had a couple that did this and dude left his wife, married the other woman.
Hmm.
Yeah. Okay, 3 years later, sitting in my living room, she says to him, what lies did you tell your wife to go date me?
Hmm.
Same lies she told her man before she started dating him. That's what he should have said.
She was, you know, she was single dating a married dude.
Yeah.
So okay. And she knew he was married. And she says to him, what lies did you tell your wife to date me to get out of the house?
Yeah, that was one of the things that I've jotted down from this thing. It's a couple of things that I've been jotting down since we had this call that we're gonna bring it back as a summary at the end, and that's selfishness, lying, and the results of doing something negative is a big deal breakers that we're finding out. It's 10 o'clock, and I got a lot more stuff here. And I wanted to move on right quick to the next topic and throw in this quick monkey wrench because I believe everybody has gone through this who has been married or is going to go through this if they plan on getting married, whoever's on this call, and that's the dun-dun-dun-dun, in-laws.
Why you got to go there?
Hey, come on, man, let's talk about it. I mean, you can talk about this one for weeks. The in-laws, man. First question I have is in-laws in your business.
can you,
you know,
expand?
They make decisions for your wife instead of you and your wife making decisions.
Can you expand that not just to in-laws, but the whole extended in-law family?
We can, I mean, if that's going to get everybody talking, yeah, we can do it. Because, you know, I love my in-laws. But, you know, at the beginning, you know, we had to work things. It took a while for us to really work things out where we got to the point where, you know, we think everything is great. But I don't think they always liked me at the beginning, had, you know, doubts about my family or my situation or how, and taking their daughter away to another state, you know, and starting our lives. And so they always would try to throw in that monkey wrench every once in a while. But they don't do that anymore. I mean, once they saw that I was a good man to my wife, they stepped back. Everything is all good. But at the beginning, it was like, you know.
You had to prove yourself.
I had to prove myself, I guess.
Well, I went through pure hell. I mean, not just from mama. But from siblings and aunts and uncles, it was, well, maybe not uncles, you know, men in the family, but it was pure defunct hell. And there's still major rifts after us being married 6 years that certain people are not even invited to our home.
Wow.
It's beyond ridiculous. You know?
I appreciate what you just said. Just not to interrupt you, because I know you got more, but the fact that there's people in her family that are not allowed in your home shows that she is a team player for the marriage. And it's like, no, you're my family, but you're disrupting my marriage business, so no, you cannot come here.
That's huge. We've had siblings and children of the siblings come into our house and totally disrespect me. And my wife went pure defunct ape. And laid it on the line, not at the event, but right after it. And laid down the law, you will not dishonor my husband.
Wow.
And if you don't see it, And I mean, this is a whole, this is a culmination of about 5 years of hell. And our youngest daughter had just graduated from high school. And of course we had, you know, a big party, big event. Some of y'all might even been here. I don't know. But it was a situation and they came in and totally, you know, disrespected and dishonored me. Wouldn't even speak to me as I'm speaking to them in my own house. Coming to eat my food in my house. And it was all I could do not to go ape, you know, because, I mean, you know, I still got that streak, man. I ain't been Christian long enough. You know what I mean? And I, something just said, back it off. And I just walked away.
And that's crazy, because I've been to one of your functions, and you guys are great hosts, man. Great.
You know, and it was crazy, you know, this is a culmination, and this was just some crazy stuff. Some stuff started before we got married, carried on through the kid, through the siblings, and down to the siblings' children, and all this kind of crazy stuff. And this stuff is live and real even to this day. Gossip and lies and all kind of stuff, you know. It's crazy stuff, man. And that is, you know what? And I thank God for the wife that I had, because I didn't have to say anything. And she said, you did not disrespect my husband. And you owe him an apology.
Wow.
And they said, I don't have to apologize for nothing. I don't like him, and I don't have to do this, 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 this. My wife said, well, until you step up, you are no longer welcome in our home. And that was over a year ago. That, you know, if you don't have a wife that understands that no one comes before the husband, or a husband that understands that no one comes before the wife, that kind of stuff can rip families apart.
Yep.
Yeah, it can.
Yep. I got a situation probably a little bit crazier than that. when I was dating my wife, going through a divorce, just waiting for my divorce to be final, I was dating my wife. My stepmom was like, don't bring her to my house. And I was like, huh? She said, yeah, don't bring her to my house. I guess she was still attached to my wife, you know, my first wife, whatever the case may be. And then, you know, I was offended because I'd never seen that side of her. You know, you're getting a grown man business here. You know, whatever decision I make, if I'm happy, you should be happy. You know, don't hate on the fact that I'm moving on.
Right.
But anyway, to make a long story short, my dad didn't do anything about it. You know, he didn't fix it because he should have fixed it. He should have squashed that right then and there because that's his house, you know.
Right.
So to this day, and now they actually try to get back in because now I'm married to it, you know.
Right.
We're married. So now they're trying to get back in. And it's like, no. Until you fix it, until you apologize and fix what you've done, y'all aren't welcome in my house either.
Well, I had that same situation with my mother-in-law. And there was some vicious, horrible slander and things said about me. And you know, like I said, it's hard for me.
Yeah.
'Cause like, I'm the type of person, I got to confront stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not the type of person that's going to sweep stuff under the rug, okay? And, you know, I'm respecting, this is your mother, you know, but I got a problem. And then we get engaged, and the mother calls me up, and she says, well, you know, now that you guys are getting married, we're going to start our fresh and everything's wonderful. And I said, we're going to deal with some stuff.
For sure.
Okay? You said some things about me that were wrong. And I mean, I laid it out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I said, and you were way out of line. You know? I said, but you know what? I forgive you. And I went through all these issues. And today we have a good relationship, but I'm not the type of person to just say, oh, okay, well, everything's okay now. Now we're married and everything, you want to get all cool. You know, and when we got engaged, and I mean, this stuff was so deep. A few days later was Christmas, and we were over at their house on Christmas, you know, to celebrate Christmas, and one of the sisters who was deep in the stuff, just deep into it. I mean, just gossiping about everything, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Just sliced bread. The mother brings me over, and she's going to introduce me to the family, who I knew already, but she's like, okay, we're going to have a fresh start now. You know, this is after I had straightened mama out, you know. So she got a sister that's sitting in the corner and acting like, you know, I'm not even there. So the mother brings me over and introduces me to her, okay? And the sister, you know, doesn't even look at me and sticks out her hand and shakes my hand and then wipes my, you know, the sweat of my hand off of her.
Wow. Like on,
okay? And I said to her, did you get it all off? You know, somebody shakes your hand and they wipe themselves so they don't have you on them.
Wow.
Deep.
I got a friend that actually used to be on these calls. And his wife had a falling out with his mom and his sister because they were also so in love with his ex. And they kept the ex around, actually. You know, the ex would come over to family functions and stuff. She's an ex. But they couldn't get that picture that she's not invited no more. So it would make his new wife very uncomfortable. The mistake that he made was he didn't fix it. He let it go on.
Oh, goodness. Oh.
He let it go on. And these are very good friends of mine. I mean, I've talked to the wife about certain things, you know, and my wife and you, we all get together and talk and we try to talk to the both of them. And he would have been better off cheating with 6 or 7 women than doing what he did to that. Because his marriage will never be the same because of that. And there's nothing he can do to get back in right. Because he didn't step up and fix that family thing. So it can be very detrimental. It can be one of those deal breakers where, you know, you're still living in the house, but there's a lot that's not going on.
One thing I had to do, I was divorced for several years, and my parents still had pictures of my ex-wife around up on the walls.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I said, Mom, you got to take these down. I'm bringing my wife here. You got pictures of me and my ex up on these walls. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, those kind of things that we don't think about, those affect. Why do we got to go to your house and see pictures of me and my ex up on the wall?
Yeah, they got to come down.
They got to come down, for sure.
So she did take them down, but, I mean, you know. My parents, you know, they're the kind of people that will keep contact with exes. And I understand, I don't have a problem with that. But, I mean, you know, that's what you want to do, that's what you want to do. But you can't be bringing them over while I'm coming. You can't have their pictures up.
Well, put them in the bedroom.
Whatever.
Put them out of plain sight.
Yeah, so those kind of things can really wreak havoc in a marriage because the new spouse or the spouse feels like they're not important enough for you to step up and fight for them.
Mm.
You know, especially if they say, you know, this really bothers me. And you say, well, you know, that's just how it's got to be.
Wow.
This person in my life before you were, and they're still, you know, in that, and that's how it is. And then you got all kind of hell.
Yeah, that's tough. Wonder if you know, giving your in-laws money, you know, supporting them. Does that now become a deal breaker because now they're part of your finances?
I think it's the same as anything else. We have to agree on
it. Yeah.
You know, I mean, if we want to give how much to the church, we have to agree on it. If we want to give to anybody, we have to agree on it. It don't matter to me.
Yeah.
If one of us nixes it, then it doesn't happen.
Yeah, and I think you have to have parameters on, you know, whether you're going to give it or whether you're going to loan it.
Yeah. But what if your wife says, this is my mother, I'm doing it anyway?
Yeah, I think that, again, you have to agree. You know, I think that, again, it goes back to, are we going to give this or are we going to loan it? We need to talk about it. You know, and, you know, if that's how the wife feels, I mean, you could talk about it and, you know, you might end up coming to that same agreement. But it can't be just, you know, mama needs $1,000, you know, and then you just like, here's the check, you know, without it being, okay, is mama going to pay me back or is this we just, you know, blessing them with this $1,000, whatever the case may be. It just has to be, talked about, you know, when it comes to that, it's like, what are we doing? Are we just giving it to them or are we going to loan them and charge some interest?
Mm.
What I have found in my life, I can't loan anybody money because it always causes an issue.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm going to do something, I'm going to give it to you because I have seen it too many times destroy friendships, destroy relationships because of loaning money. And it's just not worth it. But my wife and I have an agreement. If we both don't agree on something, it's not going to happen. She'll come to me and say, and it can be something little, you know, like, you know what, I think we should give this guy $20. And if she says, I don't feel that, okay.
Yeah, but I think it can even go the other way as well. You know, if you do give it, and it's like, man, just gave mama $1,000, you know. You know what I'm saying? I think it can go both ways. And mama just, you know, got it and got a new couch or something. You know, she was about to be thrown out of the house and she ended up buying a new couch, you know, where that wasn't even the case. So I think it can go both ways, you know.
Yeah,
but
then you both will say, okay, you know, because we've done that and more money, you know. You know, mama's, you know, going to get evicted and she needs $3,000, you know, whatever the situation. And we let them, you know, we let them know, okay, we are not a bank and we're not going to be the ones you keep coming to. We're going to help you out this time, but after that, don't think that this is, you know, the DS Bank, you know.
Yeah, and in a lot of cases, Well, I won't say a lot of cases, but in some cases, you'll have in-laws or family members that they don't want you to give it to them. They'll say, look, you know, I need, you know, as you say, $3,000, but I'm going to pay you back. I want to pay you back. I want us to work out arrangements where I can pay you back because I don't want, you know, you to just give that to me. So, I mean, and then that, you know, takes it out of your court where you don't even have to draw, you know, the payment schedule and the interest rate and all that stuff, where that family member, that in-law, whatever, will come to you and say, hey, I know I'm in a bind, but I don't want to put y'all out. So this is, you know, can we work something out where I can pay you back? And that's why I originally said most cases. I said in some cases, you know, that may happen.
Yeah, but I have found, and like I said, if somebody wants to do that, that's on them. But for me, I have found loaning money is not a good idea. Even with best friends or, you know, close relatives and, you know, because it ends up usually causing stress. First of all, if I've got to loan you money, that means you don't know how to manage your money. Okay.
Don't give out more money than you can afford to lose.
That's right. Exactly. In other words, if I'm counting on you to pay me back so I can pay my bills, that's going to be a problem. And what happens is you couldn't manage your money enough, you need me to bail you out, okay? And that means, you know, 2 months from now, you're going to be in the same situation, chances are. All right? 6 months from now. And then when you can't pay me, then you're going to start ducking me.
Yeah.
Okay? And then I'm going to be like, dang, oh, man, now you're dogging me.
Yeah.
Now you're stealing from me.
Yeah.
We got a user online that says that doesn't only go with in-laws, brothers and sisters, too.
Oh, man. I had to write off $15,000.
Mm.
You know, yeah. You know what I mean? But I finally had to say, you know what? It's done, all right?
Yeah.
Never give it back. It's okay. I'm not going to stop a relationship with my sister over money.
But do y'all think, let me ask y'all this, do y'all think that, say, the person, whether it be your brother or your brother-in-law or whatever the case may be, that's coming asking for money, asking for resources, and you looked at their lifestyle and looked at how they've managed, you know, themselves, and shouldn't it be some criteria as far as giving that first piece of money, whether it's a loan or a gift or whatever you wanna call it, but shouldn't there be some discretion based on, you know, you see they trying to do the right thing and they just, you know, had a car accident and just, you know, just things kind of just went. You know, as the brother said, I mean, that could happen to us tomorrow, you know, but the one thing about it is that do y'all look at the situation, you know, versus somebody who's, you know, driving a quarter to eight but living in the basement and then they need money for the car payment, you know, when they're living in the basement of mom's house or something, they're like, yeah, got this quarter to eight and need that $900 payment. Can you help me out? I mean, in that situation, do y'all have some discretion as to even, you know, making that decision whether you're going to even give them any money in the first place?
I don't know about y'all, but we get calls all the time, you know, and you know, there's, what I guess what really bothers me is some of them think that they're entitled.
Wow.
You have some people that say, well, you can afford it.
Ooh.
They're entitled to your money?
And I'm like, you know what? I mean, you know, well, so-and-so, you know, is doing this and they need books for their schooling. I'm like, no. That got to do with me.
Yeah.
And then the one that I get, and I don't know if y'all get this, this really pisses me off. I get broadcast emails. So and so needs money.
That family is something else, isn't it? Family is something.
Don't nobody get you. Family going to get you.
You know, but the hard and fast rule in our home is we don't ever do it without the other one being okay with it.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. If she says, I'm not feeling this,
mm-hmm.
or I say, I'm not feeling this, it doesn't matter who it is.
Yep.
Yep.
It's not going to. All right. Now, most of the time, if my wife comes to me and says, sweetie, you know, so-and-so needs some help, and I was thinking about, you know, doing something. And I'll say, is that what's on your heart? She'll say, yeah. I'll say, okay, well, you know, what do you have in mind? And if it's really on her heart, you know, unless I feel like it's an abusive situation where somebody's just trying to take advantage, if it's on her heart, it's on her heart. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if, maybe once I've said, no, I don't feel that.
But do you think that
God could be using her to feel a blessing somewhere? That somebody, you know what I'm saying? And we got to. I think we need to be sensitive to that.
Yeah,
absolutely. I agree.
Sure.
But do you think that they keep coming back to you because of your history of being quote unquote generous, and you know, and when it comes to loaning money or giving money, you know, you think that's why they're like, hey, you know, we need some, you know, man's about to go to college, you know, hook us up, you know, we know you helped mama stay in the house a couple years ago, so hook man up.
What I really think it is the culture of the way the family was brought up.
Mm.
There's an expectation if somebody has a situation that you should bail them out. I just get, it's really an expectation, and that's not how I was raised. That's your family. That's not
me
my
either.
Mm-hmm.
But I really think it's a culture, because it doesn't just happen from one person. It's literally, I mean, some of the emails that come through, I'm like, I don't care your kid got to take a test. That's your kid. And it's an insult to me that you would send me an email about something like that.
Yeah, a hit.
It's broadcast. I'm like, heck doesn't know.
I think the deal breaker portion of that whole story is when your spouse starts doing things without saying anything.
Yeah, and that's a problem, because that's a whole different issue, going behind your back. Now we have trust issues.
Yeah.
In the first hour.
You know, one of the issues, you know, because I, you know, one of those emails came through, and I was like, dump that. And my wife said, well, this is my niece, and I'd like to help out. And I'm like, you going to send me a podcast email for money?
Yeah.
And
that's bad, too. I mean, because if we're not close enough that you can't pick up the phone, then you shouldn't be asking me for money.
See, Tony, we come from the same place, me and you.
You come from the same place. Well, you already know that. Don't, if you can't call me up and tell me what the deal is, you got to send me an email, don't ask me for a dime. Because that means we really have nothing. And you're just trying to get over on a brother.
Grew up in the same mental environment.
Yeah.
But that goes back to the whole topic at hand. It's like, you grew up that way, but your wife and her family didn't.
And that's why I said I think it's a culture. Because where I grew up, you always got to be on the lookout for the dude trying to punk you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Hello?
Yep.
Isn't that right?
Yeah, yeah. Somebody trying to beat you.
Yeah.
Always got your eye out for the dude trying to bogart his way and jam you.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be just the mentality that I come from. I'm always saying, well, what's the angle?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, with my wife, she sees the better side. Maybe that's the balancing.
Yeah, sometimes it takes that balance in you to say, hey, honey, no. You know, like Tony said, because I said so.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. See, my wife doesn't have any real family to worry about. Not to say to worry about, because, you know, I
that's
missed that part.
That's saving you some money.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Hey, Andrew, you can forward them emails over to Tony.
Yeah, and look, and even if she did, she's not giving up no money either, anyway. She's not giving up nothing. I wouldn't even have to say no. You know.
You can almost play it like good cop, bad cop. You know.
Yeah, no, it wouldn't even get to me.
Yeah.
That's how bad it is. It wouldn't even get to me.
But what I'm saying is, like,
she'd have told him no, but, you know, the email probably would have come back undelivered. No, I didn't get this email, sorry.
Yeah, but you could play it where if somebody come to you, you know, Tony, you could tell that person, like, hey, you know, I've got to check on my wife. And then you know what she's going to say, and then you come out and say, man, you know, sorry. I mean, wife said no.
Yeah.
One thing we don't do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we don't do that. I wouldn't go to somebody and say, well, you know, I would have done it, but my wife said no.
Yeah, because that makes the wife look like the bad guy.
We decided that's not what we're going to do.
Yeah.
You know.
This is good, fellas. Well, we got to move on because we'll be on this until 11 o'clock about in-law.
Mm-hmm.
This is appearances.
You brought it up.
Hey.
Hey, can we talk about neglect? Being a deal breaker?
Can we talk about abandoning the marriage while still being in the house?
Ooh. Yeah, we can go there. I'll tell you.
That's what I'm waiting for. We need to talk about that right there.
Let's do it. It's on my list here. But
to abandon the marriage and still be under the same roof.
Wow.
Abandon the marriage. That can happen. I've seen it happen. I've seen where, you know, men and women, they live in separate rooms. They literally abandon the marriage due to the fact that they just can't get along personally.
Now, is that a deal breaker? And is that abandonment under God's law?
I don't know. I think it is a deal breaker, but they're trying to stay under God's law by staying in the same house.
What about the whole neglect piece, though? Neglect tied in with abandonment, or can you tie in the two? Like the husband may come home from work and go straight to the basement and stay there till it's time to go to bed.
Neglect is abandonment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing living under the same roof and neglecting the partner and the needs of the partner in the marriage.
Deal breaker.
Buddy here, but his wife put him in a basement for a year.
Yeah.
She literally abandoned her marriage covenant.
Wow.
And here's the situation, and the way we really view this, if you abandon the marriage covenant, it doesn't matter if you're living under the same roof. You've abandoned the marriage. And you still have the ability to divorce that person under God's law after certain things have happened. If the wife says, I'm moving into the guest bedroom, you are not to touch me, speak to me, talk to me. I'm no longer going to have a relationship with you. You know where the kitchen is. Washing machine. She has abandoned the marriage covenant.
Wow.
Whether she's under the same roof or not. Same with a guy. I'm coming home, living in my man cave. Don't speak to me. I don't want anything to do with you. I don't, you know, I'm going to do my thing. You do you. I do me. You have abandoned the marriage covenant. And if proper channels are taken, i.e., if you're a Christian through the church, confronting the situation, you know, you have responsibilities in this marriage, and the person says, I don't have to do anything. I'm doing my thing. And then you take two or three others with you, and they confront the husband or wife and say, we're trying to win you back. You're not walking in the way you should be walking. You have a marriage. You have responsibilities. And they say, get the F out of my house. I don't have to listen to any of you Christian nuts. I can do what I want to do. And then it's turned to the church, and the church tries to win them back. And they say, I don't want to hear what you have to say. The church can deem that this marriage has been broken. And what is bound in heaven, which is bound in earth, and is bound in heaven, and what is loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. And they can make it, through the discipline of the church, say that this person has abandoned that covenant. That's the way God says to handle it. Hope that wasn't too churchy.
Wow.
That's a wow.
And that happens really far too often.
But abandonment is a huge thing. I mean, when you leave the home, you're leaving the children, you're leaving the spouse, you're leaving the bills, you're leaving, you know, everything that was built under that union.
Let's say this. I know other things, substance abuse that keeps you out of the house, gambling that keeps you out of the house or keeps you always broke, things like that. I know this one couple where the husband is addicted to bingo, which is crazy to me, but it is what it is. And sometimes, you know, the family doesn't have food to eat because of it. Is that a form of abandonment?
It sure is.
Yeah, that is a deal breaker.
It sure is. Again, you are breaking the covenant that you have to provide for your family, and if you continue on this and taking your paycheck to do what you want to do instead of providing for your children and your wife, you are abandoning your marriage covenant. And if a person is not going to repent from those things, then the spouse has a choice. Am I going to stay in this situation? We had a lady come to us on Sunday after a class and said, I've got a friend that her husband is beating the hell out of her. And she went to her pastor, and her pastor said, that's not cause for divorce. You have to stay. And there's some theology out there. The only cause for divorce is adultery and abandonment, and he hasn't done it either. And you know what my response to her was? Sometimes you just got to beat that ass.
Mm-hmm.
That was a
yeah.
joke.
No, yeah, we know.
You'd be like, what?
But that brings up a good point. Is abuse abandonment? By putting your hands
the
on
marriage,
your wife, that should be considered abandonment.
You are abandoning and breaking the marriage covenant.
So that is should be rules for divorce or leaving the marriage.
And it can be.
You shouldn't be putting your hands on a woman.
Well, I mean, the topic is deal breaker. So yes, that's a deal breaker for sure. An abusive marriage is definitely a deal breaker.
And again, you know, there's unfortunately, we don't see it happening often enough. There is discipline that God has set forth. Paul lays it out. If we see a brother stepping wrong, what are we to do?
Step to him.
That's exactly right. Okay, I don't mean to keep giving you stories, but I'm telling you about stories in our church, bros. I'm telling you what we deal with on a weekly basis. Okay? We're dealing with a dude that has a wife and two little kids. Wife's pregnant. He wants to go dip his stick. Mm. You know what I mean? Wife's going nuts trying to save the marriage.
He wants to dip his stick elsewhere?
She put tracker software on his computer and got the printouts of all the honeys he's hooking up with.
Wow.
Wow.
We sat him down and talked to him. He wouldn't wake up. And I said, dude, you crazy. You can't do this.
Mm.
About 2 weeks after we met with him, he sat there all stoically. About 2 weeks after we met with him, she calls me up and says, he's got a date tomorrow night.
Darn it.
Huh?
If she knows he got a date tomorrow night, it's time to...
You know, and it hurt my heart. And I called another deacon in the church, and I said, let's do a drive-by. Let's do a drive-by on the dude. We got to try to win him back.
Mm.
You know? And I said, dude, you know, and I'm not a, you know, real great scripture dropper, so the deacon I brought was. You know, and he's dropping a scripture. And I'm punching him in the face with real life. The dude, you got 3 kids, a pregnant wife. They're going to ream you a new one. I said, $2,000 a month for 22 years.
Mm-mm.
There ain't no chick in the world that's going to want you.
Wow.
Okay? But God set forth discipline. And after that didn't work, I turned it over to the pastor. But that is what we are called to do. We're called to win them back, not to put our finger in their face.
Yeah.
Now, he decided, you know, I'm going to do my thing. She went and had the baby. Now he got his own little spot, I guess, with his little honeys, and she's back home. 3 babies. You know, so the situations are real and live and happening all around us.
Yeah. The devil is working.
That's an obvious deal breaker.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, but when you have people teaching people things like, well, you know, if he's beating the heck out of you, you got to stay. There's a lot of churches teaching that.
Wow. That's a deal breaker.
Yeah. That has to be a 100% deal breaker, you know.
Yeah.
You got to keep your hands to yourself.
Yeah.
You ain't going to beat me. Then we got some guys getting beat.
Yeah.
Physically? What about verbal abuse?
Question. That should be a deal breaker too. I mean, who's going to sit there and verbally get abused? I mean, the deal breaker for that, for some folks, we can go look at in the jails is the repercussions of the, you know, the violence.
There's a problem. There is a Andrew, are you talking about verbal abuse, the wife being verbal to the husband, or vice versa?
It happens both ways.
Yeah.
We see it both ways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a very slippery slope. And the reason I want to say this is you have to, and that's why you can't do this on your own, and that's why the discipline has been set up to take you out of the picture.
Mm-hmm.
Because you could say to your wife, you know, I'm sick of you. I'm sick of whatever happened. And she says, verbal abuse, I have grounds to get a divorce. Now, who hadn't had a fight and said something we wish we hadn't said?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a slippery slope. And that's why God has charged the church to be the judge in situations. It's funny, we run to church to get married, We run to the lawyers to get a divorce. When God's law put things in place to handle all the situations.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
If it's heard by the leaders of the church, and that's why you have got to make sure that you're in a church that's right with the doctrine. Because if they'll negotiate on one thing, they'll negotiate on anything. And you're putting your spiritual covering in the hands, and you've got to make sure you're in the right spot. If you're a Christian. Because, I mean, if your daughter is in a marriage and she's in a church and the pastor's telling her he's beating the heck out of you, but you have to stay because he hasn't abandoned you and he hasn't had an affair. And again, you know, my opinion, these are not, do not have to be deal breakers, but if someone is unrepentant and wants to stay out there, you know, my wife, her ex-husband, was having an affair, and they were going to counseling, and the counselor said, you have to stop all contact with this woman that you got on the side. And he said to the counselor, I'm not ready to do that. I want to see how this is going to play out.
It's not going to play out well if you're going to keep the person on the side.
Well, he was talking about he wanted to see how the other relationship was going to play out. He thought he had found something good.
Mm.
So that is unrepentant adultery. You know, we had a call a few weeks ago where somebody says, is it possible to fall into adultery and still love your wife? Yes, it is. Okay, none of us is strong enough to say nothing would ever happen. And if you are, you're not really bright. Because the heart is desperately wicked, and you don't know in a certain situation what you do. We could say we wouldn't, but we don't know. I know before I got married, I would have said, no, that wouldn't happen.
I don't know if I agree with that.
Okay.
I've been there, I've seen it. That's just like me saying, well, you know, I don't think I'm ever going to smoke crack. I know I'm not going to smoke crack.
Okay.
That's the way you know it, crack.
I'm just saying.
Crack
you know what I mean?
But you see, an affair doesn't start with you jumping in and nailing it.
Yeah. It starts with some emotional time spent with someone, like a coworker, whatever the case may be, gone wrong.
It doesn't even start emotionally. It starts with a little, hey, how you doing? And getting that little extra two-second glance.
You know, I think that's a situation. I think that's a situation where you want to happen. That's just like getting pregnant. People get pregnant because they want to get pregnant.
I'm not saying that, but you know, there are situations in marriages and ebbs and flows in marriages that you may be more vulnerable. And it could be just that one moment. I'm not saying that's going to happen in every marriage. I'm just saying that it's possible that something like that could happen.
Yeah.
But to stay in that situation and not walk and turn from that way, then that's the situation that there's no coming back from.
Gotcha.
In my opinion.
Gotcha.
I mean, you know, if we do the Tiger Woods, you know what I mean?
But that's a perfect example of a guy that had no intention on being a husband.
Right.
The true definition of a husband. He had no intention.
Right.
He wanted to be a Hollywood husband. And that's what he got. He got to be a Hollywood for appearance purposes. You know, he looked like the father. You know, you're out there with your wife and your kids. They waiting for you when you finish, blah, 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 blah. You know, and now he's got pie on his face.
Right.
Yes, indeed. Hey.
You know, none of us are in it for that.
No.
We could care less what people think about us.
Mm-mm. And that goes to my next point. It's 10:45,
and I got to get this in. I want to talk about it. It doesn't become a deal breaker if one of the spouses is unemployed, or, you know, you're going through struggles and they decide to quit their job.
Whose street you on right now?
No, whose street I'm on right now?
Are you on Smitty Street?
I hope not. I'm close to my street.
Well, you know, I think that it depends on what the motive is. If the motive is, I've been working, I'm deciding I'm not doing anymore, and I'm not going to go to work, and I'm just going to lay around and do nothing. That's one situation.
Yeah.
If you lost your job and just can't find one and things are tough out there, that's a different situation.
Yeah.
And I mean, but that's but if you're going to get the part time, I mean, if you're out there trying, then that's not a big deal.
That's what I'm saying.
But if you're not trying,
right?
To me, you know, that's darn near deal breaker. Because hey,
that's abandoning your covenant responsibility.
So
just like your wife calling you up, one day and say, hey, you know what? I just want to be housewife, and y'all haven't discussed it. You know, she's always worked. All of a sudden, she says, you know what? I want to be a housewife. So I quit my job today. Prior to this conversation, I've already quit.
And my question back to her is, what if I quit mine?
Yeah. See, I think there's a double standard there.
Yep.
But I also believe that we as men are the ones that are responsible financially for our families. Not to say our wives don't help and sometimes make more money, but we are the ones that are going to be held responsible. We are the protectors. We are the ones that are held to that standard by God.
So even if your wife is part-time and, you know, your bills and your money were set on a full-time, two people working full-time in the family, you're saying, all right, man, step up and go find another job that makes more money.
I think it would probably, if my wife did that, I think it would be a situation of indicative of something deeper wrong.
Yeah.
Because we're pulling as a team and she understands the situation.
Mm-hmm.
She would want to help. But I would view a man that did that very different than a woman. And I don't know if that's just within me.
Yeah.
You know, but if Tony called me up and said, dude, quit my job today. What's up, man? I don't feel like working no more. My wife will kick it. Like, dude, we're going to go to lunch. Don't quit yet.
Don't quit yet.
Okay.
I need you to smell his shoe polish first.
Well, what if you want to start your own business? I mean, there's no good time to start your own business.
But that's not...
That's a sacrifice where you're saying, oh, you know what, wife?
Right.
I'm taking the money that we have in savings, I'm getting out of work, and I'm starting my own business tomorrow.
That's a deal breaker.
That's a huge deal breaker, what you just said.
You take the money without her consent. You quit your job without her consent, and then you start a business without her blessing. I mean, that's just starting off on the wrong foot all the way around.
You could have something really wrong in the relationship.
Yeah.
Because if it was really right, you could tell her, be like, look, babe, we got the money in savings. I'm really not liking the job. I've got this, you know, creative idea for my own business, and if it was really like that, she would get behind you.
Mm-hmm. And you wouldn't have to do it behind her back.
Exactly.
Well, what if she didn't get behind you? We have the right to do it anyway.
Yeah, but...
And this was talked about at the beginning, you know, hey, you know, I always want to own my own business. This was talked about when you were, you know, dating, you know, before marriage, and you say, hey, you know, one day I'm going to want to start my own business. And each year you bring it up, and you bring it up, and you're saving. And you say, this is it. This is the right time. I'm sick of this job.
and I'm going to need you to foot the insurance.
And if she says, honey, if we got to live in a hut, I'm with you.
Mm-hmm.
Then we good.
But on the flip side, she could say, yeah, I mean, she could say no. And I think what we said before, you got to listen because she may see something. God may put something in her heart that you don't foresee that she's like, no, you know, or she might say you need to go this way. You know, I like your idea, but, you know, let's go this direction. So I think that we have to be sensitive to that fact that she might see something that you don't see.
Yep.
And also, I know situations where the wife is extra supportive and the husband in these get-rich-quick schemes, that they call it, that never work, keep dragging their family down.
Yep.
Just because, and they're taking advantage of, well, you know, she's backing me, so let me try this week. Well, let me take this money and try this one over here. This, you know, it can bite you.
Yeah.
Man, that's good stuff.
So that's another situation, though. If this keeps happening, and then she's saying, "Honey, we can't keep doing this. You've tried 5 different situations. We've gone through 10 years of this. You know, we've been evicted 3 times." We're living with so-and-so on their couch right now. We got to stop.
We got to stop. Because that can mean addiction, too.
Yes, it can.
Instead of going, getting the what do you call those things? You put in a time clock, a time slip, and punch the clock and go to work.
You know, I got a buddy of mine now. I mean, every other day, it's the idea of the week club. Okay? And... You know, he calls me, and I say, you need a job.
Yeah.
Okay? Everybody is not an entrepreneur. You need a job. He's always, what do you think about this? And I'm like, you need a job. Okay? I don't care if it's $7 an hour. You need a job.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Apparently, he's living in his car, got another scheme going.
Wow. Wow.
Lost his wife, his kids, whole deal.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Support his kids. Child support's chasing him.
Yeah. It's an addiction.
Yes, it is.
It's a deal-breaking addiction.
And the wife finally got tired of it and said, okay.
Yeah, you got to go. I mean, because you can't be dead weight.
That's
especially
right.
When you're supposed to be the head. How are you going to be dead weight and you the head?
And that is a classic example of it broke the deal because you didn't step up and you didn't provide for your family.
Mm-hmm.
And enough schemes and enough all the stuff.
Wow. Man, I got so much stuff here that's still left. I still got about 13 things to go through. But I'm going to
over research.
Huh?
You over research. This is an easy topic. We got,
we got 5 minutes. So I'm going to end with this big one. This was Rodney's topic a few months ago. These are, before we get married, deal breakers. While we're in the marriage, deal breakers. Should agreements be made prior to or in the marriage in the form of a contract?
You're talking about prenuptial?
You got it. Prenuptials and maybe a nuptial when you're in a marriage. I mean, maybe there's some things you want to write down and say after you get married.
I honestly believe if you have to have that, you're marrying the wrong person or for the wrong reason.
Well, I think if you got Tiger Woods money, you'd be an idiot not to.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the situation depends on your situation. I think if you have kids from a previous marriage and you want to make sure if something were to happen to you, that funds would go to them and not bypass them, you would be smart to do that.
Well, check it. What if, you know, you got a good lady and everything's going fine, and you know, you whip out the prenup, and she said, that's a deal breaker. I'm not signing it. If you want to marry me, you'll marry me without it. Then what?
I don't know. I'm hoping. I'm betting. if he doesn't, he's wishing he did. Pay her $10 million and be done with it.
But what if that happened? I mean, you got a good lady, and you know everything's going fine, and then you say, hey, you know, by the way, I'm going to need you to sign this before we...
Okay,
know.
Okay. Back it up a little bit. Let's go back to Tiger Woods. Let's just go back to that since you said it, and it makes perfectly good sense.
Yeah.
Let's say somebody that does have Tiger Woods money, which is Tiger Woods. He's got, I think he had a prenup in place, right?
He did.
The prenup would, and the prenup had to be, wasn't executed prior to the divorce, after the divorce, something like that. He had, there was some settlement, right? Because the prenup actually did nothing because he still had to pay.
Right.
Oh,
right?
Well, we don't know what it was because it wasn't made public. It could have been just what the prenup said.
Gotcha. So anyway, so maybe he did have that good woman you're talking about, Rodney, but because his was self-inflicted.
Yeah. He had an addiction problem.
Had he not done what he did, the prenup would be a non-issue because she might have said, you know what, I got a good husband and we just going to hang in there because I love you and I want to be married to you.
That's a tough one to swallow.
But that might have been the fact.
Right. But I don't agree that because, you know, let's say I amassed $1 billion and then we get married and you decide to leave. I don't think you should have half of what I've amassed.
There should be a generalized law that states whatever you come in with is what you leave with.
That ain't law.
This ain't Orange Juice Jones.
Half.
No, but I mean, really, like we said, you know, you come with the business idea, whatever, and whether she backs you or...
That's afterwards, though.
Yeah, we're talking about...
Oh, okay, I got you.
Yeah, once you're married and you make money, let's just say you're a cash cow like a Tiger Woods, right? And you've been making money, and then you get married to this woman, right? Now, we know that marriage brings a lot of baggage, a lot of drama. But you still need a strong person in your corner to keep you moving. So maybe she was that person during the marriage that took him to the next level. So she should be, you know, she played a role in something.
That's what
but
I'm
prior
about.
To, she didn't.
Right.
Okay, so he was making $100 million before you married her. He
okay.
married her. He's making $100 million after that. So now she gets $50 million of it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a hard one to swallow, but, I mean, you know.
Yeah. See, that's what the law states right now.
No, well, the story, no. He makes $100 million, she gets $100 million because he makes $100 million. You know, even though he came into marriage, he married her with $100 million, and then he made another $100 million.
Uh-huh.
That's $200 million they made while they were married, in the marriage.
Right, so she gets
just 100.
She
plus alimony.
See, that's half. Okay, unless he has a prenup and says, "Wait a minute, I'm established. I own Tiger Woods Inc. You coming in isn't going to change that. If you leave, if we get divorced, you walk out with $10 million. You don't get half of my $1 billion." And
yeah,
that's what
yeah.
it does.
It shouldn't go back to the beginning. I mean, it shouldn't go, shouldn't have anything to do with what he had prior to the marriage.
And it doesn't, but he's already established that that is his earning power.
Yeah.
Okay? If you know, Bill Gates, who owns Microsoft and however many billions of dollars, from the day he gets married, before that she doesn't get it, but from the day he gets married, everything that comes into that household, she gets half.
Mm-hmm.
He's always established he owns Microsoft.
Yeah.
So obviously, the jump start of however many billions come in every year, she should get half because she signed on the dotted line. A prenup says, wait a minute, no. I've established, you know, I've already built Microsoft. All right, you coming in doesn't build Microsoft and doesn't give you half of everything that comes in if you decide to break camp.
Yeah, I give you some money, but
that's right. And you agree on that. Okay, if you leave here with $20 million or whatever number we agree on. And you can write stipulations into a prenup. You can say, well, you know what, if there's adultery, that boy wouldn't think. Now, he, knowing who he is, he probably wouldn't write that in there, you know, Tiger Woods. But anything can be written into the prenup agreement. Both of you are agreeing to it. It's a contract. All I'm stating is there are times that you would be foolish financially not to do, because, man, I've seen people break up that you'd never think would break up.
Yeah, you're right.
You're like, wow, they're breaking up? Yep. Wow.
You're right.
You know?
I mean, right.
Yeah. Look at what happened when Jordan and his wife broke up.
Mm-hmm.
Mama got paid.
She got paid, but she was there since the beginning.
I understand that.
While he was in college.
I understand that. Okay. But if he had had a prenup, it'd have been a different ballgame. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, but it didn't matter. Even that prenup he had would not have affected her at all. Because,
yes,
again, she was there before he was paid.
Yes,
but if
she dropped two kids on
him. Huh?
Prenup,
plus the kids.
But if they agreed on a prenup, that would be what the divorce would be settled upon.
Yeah,
there's no way.
But it don't say anything about the prenup. Not going to say about them two kids.
And there's no way he could have pulled it off. How can you ask this woman for a prenup and she's been there when you was nobody?
I don't know.
He couldn't fix his face to say that. I was here when you was nobody. Now you gonna have to tell me? No. I'm not signing no prenup.
Yeah.
And then, you know what? That'd be a choice. But you know what? There's some sisters that are looking at the dude as a number one draft pick, thinking, the dude's going to get paid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, I knew him in college. But you know what? You know, even in college, you knew he was going to the NBA.
Yeah.
Now, you may not have known he was going to blow up the way he did, but you knew he was going to be a draft choice.
Yeah.
He was going to get paid. He was going to be worth millions of dollars. You knew that. Everybody in college knew that Michael Jordan was going to be paid.
Yeah, we all knew that.
You know, we may not have known what he became, but we knew he was going to the NBA. He wasn't going to be a dude in the CBA.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying that all I'm saying is that I believe there are instances that you should protect yourself financially. And if you've established something beforehand, you would be smart to do that, you know. But, you know, that's all ethereal because none of us are in that situation.
So, Tony.
Yeah. No problem.
It costs me too much money to hire a lawyer to draw up a prenup.
100% correct. I have to say it's 11 o'clock. I believe we had a fantastic call.
Yes, sir.
We talked about a lot of stuff. We could talk about a lot more things if you want to talk in the open mic section portion of this call. But at this time, if nobody has anything else they want to add, we're going to end this call right here on a great note.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good.
Good?
I'm good. Tired.
Too, man. I'm getting ready to end this call right now.